You will hear a number of different recordings, and you have to answer questions on what you hear. There'll be time for you to read the instructions and questions, and you have a chance to check your work. All the recordings will be played only once. The test is in four sections. At the end of the test, you will be given 10 minutes to transfer your answers into your answer sheet. Now turn to Section 1. Section 1. You will hear a talk between a student and an accommodation officer. First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 10. Now listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 10.
Hello, how may I help you?
Hello, my name is Martina Bila. I made an appointment to see you at 10 o'clock. I'm a little early. Is that okay?
No problem. We're not very busy at the moment. You said on the phone that you weren't happy with your accommodation and were thinking of changing.
That's right.
May I ask what the problem is exactly?
To be honest, there's more than one problem. The main problem is that the accommodation is further than I imagined from the university.
I see. And the other problem, or problems?
The other problem is that the landlady is quite a heavy smoker. I'm a non-smoker, and I'm afraid that I find it quite unpleasant.
I'm sorry about that. Weren't you given the option of accommodation with smokers or non-smokers?
I'm afraid that's really my fault. I don't mind light smokers, but I didn't get my accommodation organised very much in advance, so most of the accommodation had gone by the time I applied. However, a friend told me that there is sometimes accommodation, accommodation becomes available mid-term because some people leave the university or change their place, the place where they live. So I thought maybe...
I see. Yes, it is important to arrange accommodation well in advance, though it isn't always possible. However, your friend was correct. We do get some accommodation available mid-term. Just give me a minute to find your details on the computer.
Yes, of course.
Now, your current address is 43 Parkway Drive, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, that's a fair way away. The bus connection isn't too good either, is it? I think that it would be better to focus on that as the reason for moving, rather than the smoking issue. However, I will change the information in the computer to say that this accommodation is only suitable for smokers or people who don't mind heavy smokers. That way we can avoid similar problems in the future.
That sounds like a good idea.
Now, the good news is that there is plenty of accommodation available nearer the university. The bad news is that it is more expensive.
That's okay. I expected that. Is there any catered or self-catering university accommodation available? That would be ideal.
I thought you might be interested in that. The day after you phoned, a place became available. It's catered, so it's the most expensive type of accommodation, but it's yours if you want it.
There's no self-catering accommodation available.
Not at the moment. Something could become available at any time. But then again, you might have to wait weeks.
I understand. Can I just check the cost?
It's £37.50 per week. You also have to pay £23.15 during the Christmas and Easter holidays, regardless of whether you are there or not. That sum doesn't include meals during those periods.
But summer holidays are not included.
That's right. Students are permitted to stay in university accommodation during holidays, but they usually have to move to a different flat.
I see. And do I pay monthly?
Yes, but don't worry if you're a few days late. It happens quite often, and we don't mind too much.
Can I see a picture of the accommodation?
Sure. It looks like this. You can see that there is a single bedroom for each student and a common living room and bathroom. There are no cooking facilities, but many students buy a microwave.
Can you tell me anything about the people I'd be living with?
There are two girls there. One is British and one is Indian. They are studying law and marketing, respectively. They're the same age as you, 20, and they're not smokers.
That sounds perfect. If I don't give my landlady a month's notice, she gets to keep the deposit, doesn't she?
That's normally stated in the rental agreement, yes. I'd like to be able to keep this university accommodation available, but I'm afraid I can't. If someone else wants it and takes it...
I understand. I'll take it. Can I move in on the first day of next month?
What day is today? 22nd. Yes, that should be fine. Give me a minute to print out the standard rental agreement.
That is the end of section one. You now have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to section two. Section two. You'll hear a lecture. First, you have some time to look at questions 11 to 20. Now listen carefully and answer questions 11 to 20.
Welcome, everybody. Are you all sitting comfortably? My name is David Price, and this is our first meeting in a series of presentations called Countdown to Departure. I know that you have just arrived here for your year-long course prior to going abroad, but it is certainly worth taking the time to consider, to think about events that will take place a year or almost a year from now. I have handed out this useful guide to planning your time abroad. Please follow the suggested timetable closely. It is vital that you get each thing done on time. If you can get things done earlier, then we suggest in the guide, that's great. But certainly don't leave them later than we recommend. If you do not get these things done on time, it could jeopardize your study abroad, or at least delay it by a year. Now, we are currently 1 year from departure, so you should start applying for postgraduate programs and scholarships immediately, if you haven't already. Consult your tutors for further advice on these points. You should also calculate a rough estimate of your study and living expenses and consider how to pay for them. We'll be looking at that in more detail during the next meeting. You should start arranging accommodation abroad as soon as you have accepted a place on a course. Arranging accommodation can be a rather bureaucratic procedure and can take a while. At the same time, ask the university about your options for paying your fees. The next point on your timetable is 6 months before you leave. At that point, you need to check your passport, and if you are going to need a new one, deal with that immediately. Remember that your passport might need to be valid for the whole of the period you intend to be abroad, but that you can often renew your passport at your embassy in the country where you are studying. In any case, your passport needs to be valid for at least 6 months after you enter the country where you intend to study. It might seem unnecessary to get your passport in order so early before you go, but remember that you have to get your visa as well. You should do that around 6 months before leaving too. Bear in mind one final simple point. Make sure that your passport has a few empty pages left for visas and stamps. 2 or 3 months before departure, you should ask your bank about the options for transferring money to the country you'll be studying in and setting up a bank account there. You should also start looking at booking your flight to the country you'll be studying in order to get the best rates. The cost of flights varies considerably from carrier to carrier, and even between different travel agencies, and depend a lot upon the time of year you are flying. Booking in advance can save you a considerable sum of money. When you book your flight, you should check with the airline or travel agent to find out what your baggage allowance is. At the same time, look into booking your other travel within the country you're going to from the airport where you will arrive. Don't forget to buy travel insurance when you book any flights. Finally, still 2 or 3 months before departure, make sure that you have an unconditional letter of acceptance from the university you're going to attend. This is vital, as it facilitates entry clearance if into the country. Next, about 1 month before leaving, find out whether you will be entitled to receive free health treatment in the country you're going to, and find out how much you will have to pay if not. Look into arranging health insurance if necessary. Also, buy currency and traveller's checks to cover your first few weeks in the country. Watch the exchange rates and pick a good time, but do not leave it too late. If you are buying traveller's checks or a large amount of money of currency, your bank may need a while to arrange this. Another thing to do is find out what you can take into the country and what items are prohibited. Finally, find out whether your home insurance policy will cover your belongings while they are abroad. If not, arrange suitable insurance or look into the possibility of arranging a policy in the foreign country. The last point on this timetable is 2 weeks before you leave. At this time, you need to do two things. One is to ask your doctor to write a letter explaining any prescription medicines, what they are, and why you are taking them. The second is to request a reference letter from your bank in your own country, as this will help you to open a bank account abroad. Now, let's take a closer look at...
That is the end of section 2. You now have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to section 3. Section 3. You will hear a conversation. First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 30. Now listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 30. Hello, Dinesh. Come in. You said on the phone that you had a few problems to discuss with me. Tell me what they are and I'll see what I can do to help.
Thank you very much, Professor. I've been having some problems adapting to the style of learning at a British university and was hoping you could give me some advice.
I'll do my best. You won't be the first overseas student to have problems. What's your first problem?
Well, my first problem is organising my time. I mean, after I worked out my timetable for lectures, seminars and tutorials, I was surprised to find that I had quite a lot of free time. However, that's how it looked on paper, and not as it has turned out in reality.
I see. Take control of this time and organise it carefully. Time that is not organised can disappear very quickly, leaving you rushing to catch up on your work, or even running out of time altogether. Learn the essentials of time management. First, make weekly or monthly plans that set out your study targets for the week or month ahead. Schedule time for reading, and work out roughly how much you want to read in each session. Plan time to research and write your essays or prepare projects, so that you do not have to stay up late doing them at the last minute. Have you made such a plan?
No, I haven't. That's obviously something I should do. I can easily fill that free time with extra studies.
No, that's not what I mean. Don't plan to spend all your extra time studying. Remember to leave some time free for hobbies, sports, seeing friends, or simply relaxing. If you do not take time to enjoy yourself, your work will suffer, and you will miss out on many other worthwhile experiences. Make a timetable for your free time if you like. Plan when to see your friends. play your favourite sport, or just hang out. Don't forget to revise your plans if you need to. As you progress through your course, you will get a better idea of how much time you need for different activities. Adjust your schedules and keep them realistic.
So, you're saying that I need to keep a balance between work and play, and keep an eye on things to make sure that I'm not doing too much or too little.
That's right. Feel free to show me your plan when you've made one.
Thank you. My next problem is coping with my course. Living abroad in a new environment makes studying more challenging than usual. I'm worried about my progress and about how I will cope with examinations.
These concerns are natural, but do not let them overwhelm you. Here are two simple ways you can stay in control of your studies. First, ask for regular meetings with your tutor. In your case, that's me, to review your progress and discuss any problems. You're doing that now, so you've taken the first step. Let me know if you are having any language difficulties, though in your case, that seems doubtful. As you are probably aware, there is a language centre here where all students can use language learning materials, but is probably not of much use to you. Second, why not try to form a mutual support group with other international students to discuss common challenges and to share useful ideas? This can be particularly helpful if you find the teaching methods very different from those you have experienced before. Another type of support group could be other students in your subject area. Get together with students on similar courses to discuss the issues, swap ideas, and give each other support.
Yes, the second idea is particularly good. As you know, there are not so many overseas students on this course, but I know some other students from my country on other courses here. I think that I feel overwhelmed because I have set myself unrealistic goals. Just talking to you has made me realise that I need to take a more realistic approach and put my problems into perspective.
Just remember that whatever concerns you may have about new learning methods, managing your time or handling your workload, there is someone here who can help. I'm happy to be that person. All you have to do is ask. Hopefully I can offer you a practical solution.
Thank you very much. There is one other thing. When we had the orientation, the international student advisor mentioned a book that's available from the campus bookshop. It's not specifically for overseas students, but she said it was useful. I didn't write it down. You wouldn't happen to know the book I mean, would you?
I know it. I recommend it. It's called Learn How to Learn by David Warner. I'm popping over to the bookshop myself now. Perhaps we could go together. That is the end of section 3. You now have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to section 4. Section 4. You will hear a lecture. First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40. Part of the role of university education is to prepare students for their professional life and career. Part of this preparation is to introduce and train students in lifelong learning, preparing them to approach their career as a continuous learning experience, rather than assuming that the end of their university education represents an end goal beyond which there is no need for further learning. Therefore, students are encouraged to develop as independent learners. An independent learner is one who takes responsibility for his or her own learning and is not always dependent on teacher being available to guide and correct. Such a student sets their own learning goals, makes their own decisions as to when and how to study for these goals, and also evaluates their own progress and develops further goals. This is not always easy for students, particularly those whose secondary education has been very teacher-focused, with teaching conducted mainly in lecture format and with little opportunity for the students to take any control of the learning process. At university, while much teaching is conducted via lectures, students are expected to become increasingly independent in their learning. Departments approach this issue in a number of ways. For example, they might provide personal mentors. This could be a student or a member of staff who is available to discuss problems that the student might have and who will support the student in the process of becoming an independent learner. The second one requires the student to make certain choices about their course, either in the elements they choose to learn or in the way in which they choose to learn them. Thirdly, there is the provision of learning opportunities outside the confines of the campus, including study trips and student exchanges. In the English Language Centre, we try to help the development of learner independence. This English Language Centre is a self-access one. A self-access centre is a place where learners come voluntarily to improve the subject that they are studying. In the case of the English Language Centre, we focus on English language. In a self-access centre, it is the student who decides what to study, when to study, how long to study, what materials to use, how to use the materials, and how to assess effectiveness. The learner is not, however, left totally alone. Learners are encouraged to come to the centre in groups, so that they can help each other in the learning process. And there is also always an English teacher available to answer any questions that students might have, to discuss their progress, and to help the learner assess their work. Let's take an example. Mary and her friend Jim have decided they need to improve their report writing skills. They decide to go to the ELC twice in the next week, for 2 hours each time, from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock. The first thing they do is talk to the English teacher there to help them identify what particular elements of writing a report they find especially difficult. Having done this, they identify suitable books, videos, or computer programs from the index, with help from the teacher if needed. Looking at the materials, they decide which to use first and how to best to use it. Working through the materials, they discuss problems with each other, compare notes, and evaluate each other's work and progress. This process of working together is important, as the students are able to support each other in the learning process. Of course, sometimes they need more help, and so they ask the English teacher at the centre. When they have finished their studies, they review what they have studied, with help from their notes, and evaluate the extent to which they have, or have not, achieved their initial aim. In the light of this, they will decide to either do more work on the same topic or move to another topic, either related to this one or something completely different. There are many ways students can improve their English independently of a teacher. Firstly, they can use English language videos in conjunction with learning activities, such as exercises to practice particular listening skills, questions to lead discussions on the topic introduced by the video. They can do follow-up tasks that use the content of the video to focus on other language skills, such as learning vocabulary or understanding the grammar used by the characters in the video. Secondly, they can use a computer program to improve their pronunciation by identifying and then practicing the individual sounds used in English. Thirdly, they can use a book to find a model business letter, for example, writing one of the same type but with different information, and then discussing it with the ELC teacher before finally rewriting it. Finally, they can use newspapers or magazines as stimuli for discussion activities, with a brief report written at the end summarizing the discussion. However, the development of an independent learner is not dependent on a center like the ELC. Within the university, as well as within individual departments, the library, the student affairs office, and the student union all provide a range of opportunities for the student to develop as an independent learner. Outside the campus, the opportunities are both physical and virtual. Physical ones include libraries, museums, and other centres, as well as various special interest groups. In the virtual world of the internet, the opportunities are both global and vast. To conclude, in a world in which change is central to our continued survival, the professional must have the adaptability and flexibility of a lifelong learner. A lifelong learner must be an independent learner, able to take responsibility for all stages of the learning process. It is the student's responsibility to take advantage of the various opportunities on offer. That is the end of Section 4. You now have half a minute to check your answers. That is the end of the listening test, the IELTS test. You now have 10 minutes to transfer your answers to the listening answer sheet. ¶¶